This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Please stand by for the John and Gordy Morning Show. Phone lines are open right now. Call or text 608-879-8255 or use the free Civic Media app. And now, live from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, here are John and Gordy. We're truly sorry.
You know what? I think everybody's day will be much better if they just knew what Trump has proposed to do. And, you know, you can take this with you throughout the day and tell your friends.
Right out of the gate.
Yes.
Here we go.
That he actually wants to bring the insurrectionists into the White House.
Yeah, they're going to have a little grand reception.
A grand reception. You know. Honest to God, I can't believe the outrage of something so stupid as this. And I, you know, if you tell your friends, they won't even believe it. But it's true. Not only is it wrong, and he's been told it's wrong by just about everybody he's ever talked to since he's done it. He is now going to double down and bring him into the White House for a big get together.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Who's going to tell him no?
No, one's going to say anything to it.
Apparently not.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the big tip of the hand from John and Gordy this morning.
That's a big
brighten everybody's day with that insanity.
There you
immediately.
Go.
Wait, I can't hear you.
We can't hear you,
Sam. Can't hear you.
No,
hear you.
We cannot hear
no.
you. No. No. No,
maybe we're not on the air. Maybe we're in audition, and you're the only one.
We are not hearing your microphone.
Yeah,
no.
Okay, can
there
you,
you
now?
Go?
Yay, there we go. I was going to say that you did mention that there's a ghost here. When we came in, we couldn't get the lights to turn on.
Yes,
and there was a radio in over here in the station making some weird noises.
Well, and the traffic department has reported this, some lights going on and off at odd times during the day now.
Yeah.
So what's happening here?
Yeah, there is something going on.
Ghost in the machine.
Yeah.
What do you think its unfinished business is? What does it have to do with us?
I don't know. What used to be here? A bank?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
well, I would assume a mortuary.
Could be. If you're wrong. I don't know.
Or perhaps an insane asylum right here on State Street.
Maybe we should ask Jane Matinere, because when she was a kid growing up, her, I think, mom was a mortician, and she lived above the funeral home.
Oh, man.
Oh, geez, really?
That would be really strange.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a strange story. This is about my house. When we moved in, it needed a lot of fixing up and repair, and we tore out the carpeting in the living room and office area, and it looks like it was a showroom at one time, because it's black and white tile underneath the carpeting, and it has a black ridge of tile around the white flooring, and it looks like it was a showroom at one time.
Way out and where you live,
yeah.
Why would they have a showroom there for anything?
I know. It doesn't seem like there would be a showroom in our house. It looks like a house.
It is a house.
But the flooring looks really weird and really strange. And no one would want that in their living room. You know, it looks like a, you know, some kind of mortuary. That's what I thought. Oh, my God, you know. My office is just right off the living room. And
right.
I thought maybe that's where they put the casket for observance. And you know, I'm thinking, it just looks like that to me. That's all. That I know it isn't.
I'm sure you did a title search on your property, right?
Yes. It was just a home, is what it was. So, no, it wasn't a mortuary, but it sure came across that way to me, and that's my little story about my house.
At least you don't have, like, one of those houses where there's a cemetery in the backyard.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, yeah.
That's right. We got a woods back there. Maybe they buried some. It's a pet cemetery back there.
Well, you get Todd down here to check things out.
We're going to have
Todd Michaels.
We wish we could talk to Todd.
Yeah. Got a lot of stories to check into.
Well, my impression that my house was a mortuary at one time.
It could have been, it was built when? Do you know when your house was
built? About 1944.
Okay.
But
right after the war.
It was exciting for my younger son. Yeah. Who was into ghost hunting. He loved ghost hunting, and it was so cute watching him walk around the house trying to get some audio on his recorder, images with the video camera, and he was just so into it as a little kid. Yeah. And when I presented my little observation about our house when we moved in, he just loved that idea. Maybe there's people here.
You mentioned a couple days ago that you're like the ceiling to your basement and the floor to your first floor is like solid concrete, so your basement's like a bomb shelter. Was it actually a bomb shelter, or did they just build your house pretty bulletproof?
I think it's a bulletproof building. That's basically it. I don't know. I mean, there are windows, so it can't be exactly a bomb shelter.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty silly thing to do.
Yeah.
But I think your house might have been one of the first houses in that neighborhood, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was the first house.
Yeah, it's older than other houses around it.
Yeah, it's right next to the water reservoir for, everybody's faucets. Mm-hmm. It was a quarry back there, and we're on the hillside of a quarry, so it's a lot of rock surrounding it. A lot of limestone is surrounding it, which, by the way, holds in the spirits of ghosts.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll have to see if we can get a ghost hunter in there. Yeah. And, check it out for you. Okay. Good morning. It's Friday.
Yes.
Finally. And the 24th day of January, it's still cold. I thought there was supposed to be a warm-up. What happened?
What is going on here?
What happened?
I know. It was zero when I walked out of the house today.
Yeah.
Frost on the car windows if you park outside.
Was it really that cold? It didn't feel that cold to me. Maybe it's just there's no wind.
It's 2 degrees.
Yeah, there's no wind.
Oh, man.
Just 2. Would we like to know the afternoon high, or do we want to skip that?
It's not going much higher. Let's check it out. Let's take out the balls.
Okay.
Let's take out our balls.
It's a Friday tradition at this point.
The lottery balls are rolling around. First ball is a 2. What will the second ball be? Yeah. Big old 0. Big goose egg.
Wow.
20 degrees for a high today.
Okay, warmer than I thought.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, we're making progress. It's going to be milder over the weekend.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking to Pam Yonke in about 10 minutes or so.
Yes, we've got a few topics to cover with her. Fascinating topics.
I bet she's got some ghost stories.
Well, I wonder if she does.
We'll have to ask her.
Yeah. I got this other ghost story. My dad was conveying a little ghost experience that he had. He was working in his retirement. It must be something Petersons do. We just work through our entire...
Yeah.
Old age life here, but he worked for the Wisconsin Gas Company, and they sent him out all over the state, and he had to stay in hotels and motels. So in one motel that he stayed in, and by the way, he kept going back to this motel, the same damn room every time. The toilet would flush by itself, the sink would turn on by itself.
What? Yes. Wait. Come on.
No,
seriously?
This is true. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And he's telling us, I'm thinking, wow, why didn't you ever tell me this? You know I love ghost stories. I thought it was fascinating. Interesting.
So he kept going back?
Time he was, supposed to go back to that part of the state, he stayed at that motel.
What motel was it?
I don't know.
You don't know this.
I'm really angry about it. He never told me what the damn hotel was, so we can't go up there.
Mm. And you have no idea where it is.
Yeah.
Very mysterious.
Yeah, it is crazy. All right.
Okay.
A day, what's the day today? What are
the
we
National
doing?
Day?
There? National Day calendar.
All right, let's check it out. Is it or is it not? Is it National Peanut Butter Day? Is it National Beer Can Appreciation Day? Is it National Pajama Day? or National Compliment Day? One of those days does not belong. Which day would not belong?
Well, the one that shouldn't belong is National Pajama Day.
You're okay? Correct for a change.
All right. Well, thank you. No, people don't wear pajamas anymore.
No.
All right.
Usually,
what?
Oh, he still wears his onesie. Sam wears his onesie.
Yeah, sure. Well, no, if it's pajama day, you usually wear pajamas like out and about during the day, right?
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, but no one has pajamas anymore, so and we'd be walking around naked.
Yeah, that'd be, God, I don't want to imagine that.
It is National Peanut Butter Day, yeah. So we salute everybody who enjoys peanut butter.
Yeah.
Beer can appreciation day. Weren't you a beer can collector at one time?
I was not, no. Oh, okay. But I tell you, peanut butter.
Oh.
You know, people are fanatical about what kind of peanut butter they buy. Yeah.
That's true. There's lots of different kinds to choose
now,
from.
I look down on people who like creamy peanut butter. I do not appreciate
What's
that.
What's wrong with it?
Well, why?
You got to have the crunch in the peanut butter, or else
why?
It doesn't make any sense.
What do you
it's
mean?
Not like
it's
any
peanut
peanuts.
Butter. Is butter supposed to be crunchy?
Well, it's just a creamy part of the peanut. So what you're looking at is combining the two where you get the best of both worlds, right?
Okay.
Sure, okay. John.
Well,
I'm not picky like you. I'll eat crunchy peanut butter, but if I'm buying it at the store, then I'll buy creamy.
Creamy,
stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
What, you Skippy with all the fat in it and all the sugars?
Oh, that's what I grew up on. Can you blame me?
I have to say, though, even though it has all that bad stuff in it, it does taste like peanuts. I don't know how they did it.
I should hope.
I have no idea how they did it, but it really does taste like peanuts. But I get Smuckers.
Smuckers.
Natural peanut butter. It's the best peanut butter out there. It separates. The oil separates. But here's a tip for everybody out there that hates stirring up the oil into the peanuts.
Yeah.
Flip the jar over.
Flip it upside down,
Yeah. It's amazing how it really does work.
Early peanut butter was made by the Aztecs and the Incas around 1000 BC.
I bet it was crunchy.
It was probably crunchy back then, yes.
Look, Catherine likes the crunchy peanut butter as well.
There you go.
She says, that's finally good. We agree. Well, we don't agree on much, Catherine. But,
but peanut butter,
yeah, we've got
right
it.
There together. Right. Okay. Wasn't until the late 1800s that it really became a thing. And it's a good source of vitamin E, B6, niacin, calcium, potassium, and iron.
Mm-hmm.
Packed with protein.
Fantastic.
Rich with
monounsaturated?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's enough about peanut butter. What else is there today?
I like peanut butter on toast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Beer Can Appreciation Day. We appreciate all the beer cans
we
out
do.
There.
All the,
and it's National Compliment Day. Say something nice to somebody today.
It is? Really?
It's Compliment National Day? Compliment Day. Okay, so let's all be very
let's
complimentary.
Compliment Trump for inviting the insurrectionists into the White House soon.
That's it. Yeah, okay. We'll keep on top of that story. Pam Yockey's coming up. Make me a smile. Girl, if it
lasts for an hour, that's all. You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
And it's time to welcome Pam Yockey into the show. Good morning, Pam.
Well, Friday, you can actually breathe outside this morning.
Yeah, that's completely different. You know, you step outside and it takes your breath away, but not this morning.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to warm it up a little bit this morning, but I thought to myself, one of the guys I was talking to this week said, yeah, I'll be running around in shorts and a sweatshirt by the time it hits 32.
Yeah, it does condition us a lot. You know, when it's 32, I feel like taking the jacket off or at least unzipping and just kind of cooling down a little bit out there.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of canines that'll be happy to shed the sweaters their mothers have put them in.
Yes, sure. Yes. I want to talk about the cheese brine that's being used on our winter roads. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about it this week when I was on the road myself following a truck. I knew they were spreading something, but it was out of a tool bar, and I thought, well, now what in the world? Well, sure enough, I found out, and it's not the only county doing it. Greene County, for example, having really excellent success by using cheese brine as one of their road treatments in front of snow or ice. According to Chris Narveson, who's the Greene County Highway Commissioner, they started doing this a couple years ago. Now, it doesn't surprise me that Greene County would be spearheading this, since they're pretty well known for their cheese production. The brine, he says, that they're using is only about 22 to 23% salt versus the straight-out road salt that we've become accustomed to. He said it's got a lot less environmental impact. It's a little bit easier on the road. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's easier on your budget when you've got all those cheesemakers in Greene County. Last year, they used about 100,000 gallons of the cheese brine for road treatments. They had such great success. Chris said that they're adding on a couple more trucks that they've tooled up with the right spraying equipment, and already they've used 75,000 gallons of the cheese brine this year already. And let's face it, fellas, we've just barely gotten into Wisconsin winter so far.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's amazing to use the cheese brine. And what a great idea. The only thing is, can we smell the kind of cheese that was used for?
Yeah, that's the same thing they talk about up in northeast Wisconsin. They have pickle processors. They use pickle brine in northeast Wisconsin.
Wow.
And there was a conversation about the brine attracting animals to the road.
That's true.
That could be a problem.
I know. You know, my dog follows me around the kitchen because I'm dropping food and liquids all the time. So I can see that happening. What about the virtual fencing? I saw a story at your website on virtual fencing, and that is for grazing. What an idea.
Yeah. Yes, I know it. I wish they would have thought. I wish we'd have had that technology when I was a kid. There is nothing worse than walking through thickets and pickers and stickers to try to put up a fence in the middle of those cool, illustrious days in August around Wisconsin. But, yeah, basically what they're doing is using satellite technology, because some of these fields are obviously very, very remote. Satellite technology to geofence cattle in, basically. They've been doing it with dogs for a while. Now they're trying to expand it out for cattle. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. You're telling me that you're going to teach a cow where the hot, you know, where the zone is and that?
Right.
But they said, honestly, it's not like you have to have a lot of equipment either. It's not like each one of the animals has to have some kind of transponder on their neck that gives them a little jiggle when they're getting too close. This is really pretty sophisticated, and it's efficient enough and effective enough so that farmers that rotationally graze their cattle or move animals, let's say, every other day, or have big, wide-open spaces like the ranchers out west, they are finding this to be one dilly of a useful piece of equipment to move cattle around without having to pull fence poles, move them, and reinsert them, put the fence back up.
Well, how does that work then?
Is the satellite just watching them or something? Or
how do they get the message?
It strikes, yeah, exactly, so that you'd have probably, well, depending on the size of the fence, let's say you've got four corners, so they basically have transmitting transponders in the four corners that sends out either a sound wave or a wave that allows for the animals to recognize where they are, where they're supposed to be, and stay within. Now, listen, I'm with you. I know where you're going. I chased enough cattle in my life. I know there's always one. But the bottom line is that it is affording farmers a lot less labor needed when it comes time to move a fence. I'm sure that, you know, like any good mousetrap, it's only going to get better.
Yeah, that's a really great idea. And you're right. You know, they do have these cattle out there grazing different parts of their property. To clear it, right? Is that's what they use it for,
well,
right?
It's not just to clear it. It's you know, we've got to pasture them wherever we can pasture them.
Yes. And
like I said, you get into that hilly stuff. Just imagine you get down in some of that ridge country or, you know, way up in the bluffs.
Yeah.
Having something that saves you wear and tear on trying to get up there and hook up a fence is considered marvelous technology to me.
Oh, yeah. This is great. What a great idea. And the use of technology, and that's one of the reasons why we like to have you on here. I listen to your farm report all the time, and the technology stuff that you bring up during that program is just fantastic. You know, it's amazing what kind of information you have to have now being a farmer in this state.
Yeah. Well, I said to one of my assistants, you look at any farmer's smartphone today and you'd think you're dealing with a, 18-year-old because they've got so many apps on their phone to market, to manage, to monitor weather, check cows, all that kind of stuff, plus security. So any farmer you look at with their smartphone, there, like I said, they're just like one of those young kids out there that we criticize about being on their phone too much.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's talk about the loss of the state horse leader. What's that all about?
This bums me out. I saw this. His son, Tony, reached out to me. Ray Antonovich, for more than 30 years, was University of Wisconsin Extension's horse specialist. Just a great guy. Was born in Anago, kind of grew up in the Milwaukee area, but fell in love with horses, made it his passion. Now, I don't know. I am very, very freshman when it comes to horses. I didn't have horses as a kid. Mm-hmm. I was a dairy kid. Dairy kids generally don't have horses. But Ray and I worked together a lot to try to help people understand all the different influences that horses have on Wisconsin's economy, our tourism, et cetera. And then after he retired as horse specialist, he and his wife, Alice, opened up their farm just outside of Madison for spring lambing. They had about 200 ewes, and every spring they all had babies. So they opened their barn to the general public, let people come out and see the lambs and watch how mama and lambs interacted and just spend a morning on the farm. Big loss.
Yeah, it is a big loss.
Agriculture and the horse industry.
All right, Pam.
Pam, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. That's Pam Yonke with the Midwest Farmer Report.
We've got that coming up in just a few moments.
Thank you, Pam.
Thanks, Pam.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
Now listen, Grapehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
You calling me a liar?
I ain't calling you a truther.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, we've got some stuff today. Do we not?
Do we have stories?
Do we have some stuff today?
We do.
I think we do. In Mississippi, they proposed a jacking illegal law act.
Wait, what?
That's the official name of the bill, right?
No, it's it's kind of a masturbation law.
What is it called? The Life Begins at Erection Act?
That's right. Contraception Begins at Erection Act. And they're proposing this in Mississippi. I don't know if this is a joke. Really? An act to enact the Contraception Begins at Erection Act to define terms to provide that it shall be unlawful for a person to discharge genetic material without the intent to fertilize an embryo, to provide for criminal penalties, to provide certain exceptions, and are related to such purposes as, and then they have a list, but essentially you get fined as well. if they catch you doing this in the privacy of your home, I guess they can find you.
Man, this is just another law that only applies to the poor.
Yes, it's the only way they're going to entertain themselves. $1,000 for the first act, $5,000 the second time they catch you.
What?
And $10,000. The third time they...
How are they going to police this?
I guess peeping Tom laws are no longer
enforced.
Are they having a problem with public masturbation or something?
Don't know.
That,
keep in mind, this is Mississippi. Okay?
Right.
It's a state senator, Bradford Blackman. He's a Democrat, by the way.
That's why I thought it was kind of maybe a joke, right? There's a whole bunch of different responses to this.
Of course there are. And
there is a legal right not to see somebody's, in public. It's called indecent exposure.
Right.
So we already have those laws. So who would see it other than, I don't know, who would see this act taking place?
The person that wrote the bill says this bill highlights that the fact that all across the country, especially here in Mississippi, the vast majority of bills relating to contraception and or abortion focus on the women's role when men are 50% of the equation.
Yep.
It says here. The bill highlights that fact and brings the man's role into the conversation. People can get up in arms and call it absurd, but I can't say that bothers me. What? Anyway.
Yeah.
We'll follow this.
We'll definitely follow this. It could catch on.
I think this is more of a symbolic bill. This makes sense now that it's coming from a Democrat, because he does mention that a lot of the anti-abortion bills that are out there are all targeted at women,
right,
and women's health. And this is obviously a ridiculous bill, but it's taking aim at men's reproductive actions, I suppose. And
absolutely,
we need to call attention to it.
We all always should call attention to the fact that it takes two, and they've been attacking women for at least the last 15 years, and blaming them, and then penalizing them, and then forcing them to have babies even after they're raped. So we never talk about the father in this, the male role in this. And this time, we're focusing on it because of ridiculous proposals like this, which is just a joke, but it's an example of, the silliness and cruelty that Republicans are foisted enough on women in this country.
We got a response here from Gary in Madison. Life begins at law.
Yes.
A spoof of the privacy issues.
Yeah.
So.
And Catherine says, oh, please.
Yeah.
So that means move on.
I think so.
All right. Let's get
to... Hey, it's just part of our world, right?
It is.
I mean, we're just reporting what's out there.
Yeah.
That's all.
We're talking Idiocracy here.
Yes.
I mean,
this is perfect story.
What better topic? Wow.
Okay.
All right. Hey, we've got this incredibly uplifting story coming up at about 51 this morning. So if you're around, it's you're going to love this. It's a Packer story. Something we missed because it was in another market. It was in Milwaukee. They had a big, big story in this. And I discovered it last night. I thought, oh, we got to definitely play this on our show.
Well, are we going to wait 10 minutes?
We're going to wait 10 minutes for this. Because this is Idiocracy. There's nothing good in this this segment.
Okay. This portion of the John and Gordy Show, by the way, is brought to you by Furlough Mattress.
Well, Furlough's going to really appreciate this. This is a good position for their ad.
Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Check them out at Madison's East Side or West Side, or go to Verlo.com. The good people at Verlo understand. They do. They're great. When are we going to get Maddie the mattress in here, by the way?
I know.
Come on, let's get
Maybe we just got to go and kidnap him or something.
Look, I understand Maddie and the mattress is more visual, but we're really trying to promote the visual part of our show.
Which one of you wanted to do a puppet show on the radio?
Still want to do it.
They're in the drawer over by my desk.
Yeah, we have puppets from Gordy's old puppet show, and we want to do a segment at least.
Yeah.
With puppets.
On the radio.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
And we're not sure whether we want to tell people we're doing it at the time, just make it a little bit of a surprise. But I know people tune in. They're watching us on their phone, in their car, while they're driving to work. So we get that.
And on YouTube and Facebook.
All right. So wind. Let's talk about wind.
Wind?
Wind is getting in the... It's getting in the way of big oil. It is. One of Donald Trump's... Fantastic sound effects.
Thank you.
Real professional. One of Donald Trump's executive orders halted leasing and permitting for wind energy projects in the outer continental shelf. In other words, you know, out in the water where you can't see them because they're so far away, but it's still generating a lot of electricity. Well, that's on hold.
Why?
He stopped that. Well, you know, we can't have that. We can't all have all these other sources of energy. That's outrageous. Yeah, I saw the response to this particular tweet, and a lot of people still think, the megas still think, that electricity generated this way is more expensive than gas, natural gas, and certainly oil or coal. But it's not true.
No.
This is actually cheaper than all of those other sources now. God, move out of the, you know, the 20th century, please. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's got that out there. And what does this mean? It strains our grid, which needs more energy, not less, and could raise prices, raise prices and threaten good-paying jobs in the U.S., in New York, on Long Island. So we're kind of getting rid of a lot of jobs in this administration.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to fire a lot of federal employees.
Right.
That's called job loss. I don't know if anybody has noticed that. And now they're getting rid of all of these green jobs. So I don't know. This isn't a job creating.
Not yet. Doesn't seem
administration.
To be. I think unemployment's going to start rising.
That's what I'm thinking.
When are the egg prices coming down?
Hey, you know what? We talked about the prices of eggs and bacon, right?
Yes.
But eggs, they're right through the roof.
Holy mackerel. It jumped.
I can't even believe the price of eggs at this point. And even though it's the bird flu that has created this rise in egg prices, I think we should just generically blame Trump for it. Because that's what he did to Biden, all right? He had all these other reasons why inflation took place, but he picked one little source, one thing like bacon and eggs and gas prices. Well, you know, we had a COVID problem, which they, by the way, think is some kind of conspiracy by liberals to destroy the country and destroy businesses throughout the country. Why anybody would want that, I don't know, but there are a lot of people that believe that.
Egg prices are supposed to come down day one.
Yeah.
You know,
nothing. And they went up instead.
Yeah.
But for some reason, no one's talking about the price of eggs. Why? Let's blame Trump for this. This is on his watch.
Yeah.
The eggs are high, and they're getting higher.
Yes.
So, you know, we got to do something about this. I'm done with him. I've been to one.
A long
way to go. All right. Let's get to Trump's excuses for the insurrectionist release.
Okay.
All right. Now, we talked earlier, and this is always something to pass along to your friends and get them to laugh. But Trump is doubling down on the insurrectionists.
He's going to invite them to the White House.
Yes.
Yeah, for a big reception.
They're going to have a big party.
That's true.
Despite being grilled by the press and everybody saying this is really a bad idea, who thought of this, beating up on cops and then getting released? Anyway, so here, let's play cut 128. All right.
We'll take a few questions if you want.
You would agree that it's never acceptable to assault a police officer.
Sure.
So then if I can, among those you pardon, DJ Rodriguez, he drove a stun gun into the neck of a DC police officer who was abducted by the mob that day. He later confessed on video to the FBI and pleaded guilty for his crimes. Why does he deserve a pardon?
Well, I don't know. Is it a pardon? Because we're looking at commutes and we're looking at pardons. Okay, well, we'll take a look at everything, but I can say this.
No, you won't.
Murderers today are not even charged.
Oh.
You have murderers that aren't charged all over.
Where?
You take a look at what's gone on in Philadelphia. Take a look at what's gone off in L.A.
You're making this up.
Where people murder people and they don't get charged.
Making it up.
These people have already served years in prison, and they've served them viciously. It's a disgusting prison.
You're lying.
Horrible. It's inhumane. It's been a terrible, terrible thing.
Oh,
I also say this. You go to Portland, where they wrapped police officers, shot police officers, nothing happened to anybody.
No, that's
you
not right.
You go to Seattle, where they took over a big chunk of the city and people died.
No.
Portland, a lot of people died.
Wait, get over it.
And you go also take a look at Minneapolis, because I was there and I watched it. And if I didn't bring in the National Guard, that city wouldn't even exist today.
You didn't bring them in, you
people
jerk.
Were killed and nobody went to jail.
Oh, my God.
So these people have already served a long period of time. And I made a decision to give a pardon. Joe Biden gave a pardon yesterday to a lot of criminals. These are criminals that he gave a pardon to.
Oh,
okay. And you should be asking that question.
Yeah, that's
why did he
question.
Give a pardon to all of these people that committed crimes? Mm. Why did he give a pardon to the J6 Unselect Committee?
But what about
when they burned and destroyed all documents,
but what about,
which showed that they did what was wrong?
But what about,
Wait a minute. Why did they give a pardon
what about,
to all of his relatives, his brother who made millions of dollars, to all these different people? He gave pardons. That's the question you should be answering. All right, go ahead. Yeah, please.
No,
please.
No, please move on. Yeah. So it's the what about ploy that they always try to get out of these arguments with. Yeah. And it never works because it's just stupidity. You know, all of these things that he mentioned are creations of his own. And this is the kind of administration we're going to have to deal with for four damn years. He's going to make up all this stuff as excuses for whatever problem he can't solve, for whatever promise he breaks. He's going to come up with these ridiculous, illogical reasons, lies, and we're supposed to just sit there and take it. I don't think the press corps was buying into any of this stuff.
No, they're not, but he's just baiting them. He's
yes.
just throwing out stuff, and they're just, you know,
that's
gobbling
right.
it up.
That's
yeah.
right.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go back into the past just a little bit. We've got the Lambeau Leap Hero.
Yes.
Celebrated in Milwaukee. We'll play that in just a few moments. It's inspirational.
Coming up, we also have Boys to Men tickets in our 7 o'clock hour giveaway.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's where it's at, man. 92.7 WMDX. John and Cordy in the morning.
It's a cold start this morning, 2 degrees. Highs today about 20 with a mix of sunshine and clouds.
All right.
Yep.
Here's a story out of CBS 58. You might remember CBS 58. We were talking about it yesterday. They fired a meteorologist for pointing out the Nazi salute that Elon gave the other day twice.
Yes.
Two in a row. Pretty obvious, and we had media, of course, you know, trying to soft sell it and say, well, they're not sure, you know, I'm not really sure. But when you think about Elon's past, yeah.
Well, and he supports the German Nazi party that still exists.
He does.
They're making a comeback.
He's been with those individuals.
Yes.
White
and
nationalists.
And this meteorologist put something on her Facebook.
Yes,
on her
she pointed out on her personal posting and on Instagram.
Right.
And then they fired her.
Yeah.
But anyway, CBS 58 has some of the best reporters that used to work in our market. A.J. Biapour, fantastic reporter, one of the great ones. And Emily Fannin, also from Channel 27, both worked at Channel 27. Mm-hmm. And now they're at CBS 58. And A.J. Biapour did an extensive report on a Lambeau Leap hero. He wrote, folks, we found her. Gigi grew up in Oshkosh and is now studying journalism at Arizona State. And he presented an entire story on this. And I just got to play it for you. It's inspirational. She is a fantastic Packer fan. Let's listen to this.
And we do want to start out our newscast tonight with a story of territory. Some of you may remember last Sunday when Chicago Bears players tried to Lambeau Leap after their win over the Packers.
And the Packers and the Bears have faced each other 210 times in their decades-long rivalry. But those images from Sunday are proving pretty memorable. Pictures and videos from that moment went viral online.
Yeah, CBS 58 exclusive tonight. A.J. Byatt-Poor talking to the one Packers fanatic, becoming the face of the post-game scuffle.
Gigi Michelle has been going to Lambeau Field her entire life.
I remember going to Packer games as soon as I was like 3 years old.
She is from Oshkosh, but has roots in Brookfield, and that's how her family has had tickets right behind the end zone for more than 30 years.
When all the season ticket holders for the Milwaukee games got put into the lottery here for the Green Bay tickets, my grandpa was lucky enough to get three seats right in the front.
Last Sunday, when the Bears won on a last-second field goal, a number of their players ran toward the stands.
One of them jumped straight into my mom, so I was like, that's my protective mode. I'm like, I protect my mom, but I'm also going to protect our home, like Lambeau Field, because that's my home too, right?
Video recorded by our own Scott Grodzki shows Michelle shoving Bears linebacker Ayman Ogbonbemiga, number 45.
So but he was so climbing cute. Up, and he was like looking at me. He's like, I'm going to get up in the stands. Like, you can't push me down. And I was like, get the down. So it was just like I was screaming at him and everything.
Shout out to Gigi. I'm about to send Gigi her and her mom a signed jersey because I'm a mama's boy.
Gigi's defensive effort caught the attention of Leroy Butler, yep. The Packers Hall of Fame safety who invented the Lambeau Leap in 1993.
Leap is in my DNA. I have Leap spirits, Leap vodka. I have a cooking show called Leaping Into the Kitchen.
The Leap helped make Butler a household name. Gigi's protection of this Packers tradition got lots of attention this week.
Uh-huh. When did you realize this has gone viral?
Yeah. So I kind of had a feeling when it happened.
Sure enough, by Monday morning, the pictures and videos were everywhere.
NFL and CBS or whatever reposted on TikTok and like made a slow-mo video of me doing it. And then that's when I realized I was like, this is everywhere.
Looking back on it, Gigi says there are no hard feelings.
I know a lot of players said some things they probably didn't mean either, so I have no ill intent against them, but it was definitely a heated moment.
After all, a lifelong Packers fan can appreciate the emotion in this rivalry.
I get how exciting it was for the Bears. This is their Super Bowl. It's the closest they're going to get, probably.
Boom, roasted.
Now, Gigi is currently a freshman at Arizona State University, Jessup's alma mater.
Forks up, yeah.
She's studying journalism, and she hopes to one day be a sideline reporter for football games, you know, maybe pushing players and coaches with questions as opposed to physically shoving them.
Well, it did seem a little bit like, you know, besides the pushing, they got into it verbally a little bit. Did she say anything else about what they said to each other?
Yeah, if you look at that video, there was one point when another Bears player comes in, receiver Roma Dunze, and he's pointing right at Gigi, and she's pointing right at him. I asked her what that was about. Gigi says that Odunze was telling her she's going to get in trouble, that they're going to get police or the security because she's touching the players. And she says she just laughed at him and said, you know, call the police. You're the ones jumping into the stands. And I asked Leroy Butler about that, and he just laughed, saying Odunze is a rookie. He just has to learn more about the Bears-Packers rivalry and specifically what it's like playing at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yes. She's adorable, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, northern blonde and looks very much like Ann, my wife, and I can see Ann doing exactly that same thing.
Same
She's
thing.
That kind of Packer fan. Mm-hmm. Brutally defending the stands and her mom in the stands. What a truly inspirational story. Just fantastic, isn't it?
It is a great story.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got Boys to Men tickets coming up after 7 o'clock. They're coming to the Wisconsin State Fair in August. You can get those tickets also at wistatefair.com. But we will be giving those tickets away. We'll start that up in just a few minutes.
All right.
Also, Jimmy K will be joining us with a Max Inc. preview.
Now, we've got the big story coming up next hour. You got to hear this. This is the Heritage Foundation is back again.
What?
And this time, it's not just Project 2025.
Oh, no.
It's an extension of that. And they're going after birthright citizenship. That's what this whole argument is about. It started by the Heritage Foundation, and now it's continuing on and on, and we'll get to that story and a few responses to it.
And something with Mark Rubio, right? He's now our Secretary of State.
Yeah.
He got confirmed. Yeah.
Rubio's defending our right to the freedom of misinformation.
Well, thank God somebody is.
Yes.
Okay. It's all coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning, plus your phone calls and texts at 608-879-8255. News is next. We'll be back in mere moments.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.